this morning's scripture reading is taken from the Old Testament, from the book of Job, chapter 19. I shall read from chapter 19, verses 21 to 29. Have pity on me, have pity on me, O you my friends, for the hand of God has struck me. Why do you persecute me as God does, and are not satisfied with my flesh? Oh, that my words were written. Oh, that they were inscribed in the book, that they were engraved on the rock with an iron pen and lead forever. For I know that my Redeemer lives, and he shall stand at last on the earth. And after my skin is destroyed, this I know, that in my flesh I shall see God. Whom shall I see for myself? And my eyes shall behold, and not another. How my heart yearns within me, if you should say, how shall we persecute him? Since the root of the matter is found in me. Be afraid of the sword for yourself, for wrath brings the punishment of the sword, that you may know there is a judgment. Now turn to me to the New Testament, the book of 1 Corinthians, chapter 15. I shall read from verses 12 to 28. Verse 12. Now, if Christ is preached that he has been raised from the dead, how do some among you say that there is no resurrection of the dead? But if there is no resurrection of the dead, then Christ is not risen. And if Christ is not risen, then our preaching is empty, and your faith is also empty. Yes, and we are found false witnesses of God, because we have testified of God that he raised up Christ, whom he did not raise up, if in fact the dead do not rise. For if the dead do not rise, then Christ is not risen. And if Christ is not risen, your faith is futile. You are still in your sin. Then also those who have fallen asleep in Christ have perished. If in this life only we have hope in Christ, we are of all men the most pitiable. But now Christ is risen from the dead and has become the first fruits of those who have fallen asleep. For since by man came death, by man also came the resurrection of the dead. For as in Adam all died, even so in Christ all shall be made alive. But each one in his own order, Christ the first fruits, afterward those who are Christ at his coming. Then come the end, when he delivers the kingdom to God the Father. when he puts an end to all rule and all authority and power. For he must reign till he has put all enemies under his feet. The last enemy that will be destroyed is death. For he has put all things under his feet. But when he says all things are put under him, it is evident that he who put all things under him is accepted. Now, when all things are made subject to him, then the Son himself will also be subject to him who put all things under him, that God may be all in all. May God bless the reading for you.
It's wise again to sing. It's wonderful to hear, "Lie in the grave he lay, Jesus, my Savior." Word to use. When our Lord uses the word, he uses it in great emphasis, doesn't he? Often he says, "Verily, verily," that's the word, "Amen, amen." It's a definite response to something good and wonderful and true. So don't be frightened of the amen. It's also very encouraging to remind ourselves of the great God that we have. Well, we're going to turn to our reading now, which is Matthew 28. Matthew account, of course, all the four Gospels. Your attention to the account of the resurrection of our Lord Jesus Christ. Matthew is the one we're looking at now. We take Matthew 28 and read it from verse 1. Now, after the Sabbath, as the first day of the week began to dawn, Mary Magdalene and the other Mary came to see the tomb. And behold, there was a great earthquake, for an angel of the Lord descended from heaven and came and rolled back the stone from the door and sat on it. His countenance was like lightning, and his clothing was white as snow. And the guards shook for fear of him and became like dead men. But the angel answered and said to the woman, "Do not be afraid, for I know that you seek Jesus who was crucified. He's not here, for he is risen as he said. Come, see the place where the Lord lay, and go quickly and tell his disciples that he is risen from the dead. And indeed, he's going before you into Galilee. There you will see him. Behold, I have told you." So they went out quickly from the tomb with fear and great joy and ran to bring his disciples word. And as they went to tell his disciples, behold, Jesus met them, saying, "Rejoice!" So they came and held him by the feet and worshipped him. And Jesus said to them, "Do not be afraid. Go and tell my brethren to go to Galilee, and there they will see me." It's God's word and the account is inspired always, as we know the Bible is, by the Holy Spirit. Let's pray. May the words of my mouth and the meditations of all our hearts be acceptable in thy sight, our Rock and our Redeemer. Even though this is a happy day, we have to admit that much of life is grief and loss. We don't particularly like getting old, do we? And we look back perhaps when we were younger, when we were children, and the grass was green, guess what? There was no mobile phone. The pace was so much slower, and the crime rate was so low that we could leave our doors open and people could walk in and walk out again. I thought I said no mobile phones. These days they'd have to hack their way in with a hammer and chisel. But it may be, and this is a serious tone of course to this, it may be that there's grief and loss over marriage. It's now on the rocks. You don't send me flowers anymore. You don't sing me love songs. Maybe shortly you'll have to go to a nursing home. Maybe you're in one already. And you remember affectionately your 4x2. And now, simply put, it's just a 1x1. There's no cats, there's no dogs. And there are changes in your life of your health. Memories of years gone by, perhaps sadly with the loss of a loved one. And now there appears to be a lack of purpose. It might be a removal of a limb or an organ. You might be going blind or deaf. You have a member, which is still going, I'm glad to say, Johnny Erickson Tyler, who was paralyzed at the age of 17. I remember her saying, actually in a song, how I would long to get down on my knees to pray, to embrace a loved one, to drink a cup of tea, to walk, weep, and to praise God. Grief and loss, we live with it every day. Give you a few biblical examples of this. There was David, and there was Jonathan, and of course at the death of Saul and Jonathan, David said, oh, how the mighty have fallen. Saul and Jonathan were beloved and pleasant in their lives. I am distressed, you, brother Jonathan. You have been very pleasant to me. Your love to me was wonderful, surpassing even the love of a woman. How the mighty have fallen. Jacob, seeing the coat of many colors dipped in blood, obviously believed he was dead. And he said, I shall go down to my grave, to my son in mourning. David, oh, Absalom, Absalom. Mourning, of course, is essential. You don't mourn, that is, more than likely that you get something wrong with you along the way. But mourning, particularly of a loved one, our Lord said, well, for 40 days is the time to mourn. But you know, the greater the love that you have for someone, the greater the loss and the grief. Then for some, by the waters of Babylon, where we sat down and wept, we remember Zion. Again, it might be the loss of a location, loss of childhood. Remember, of course, the mourning that went forth when Herod killed all the baby boys. And you see, this is what the disciples were going through, even though it had been only a very short time. In fact, they thought that was the end of the road. He wasn't the Messiah that we were expecting. I mean, after all, there he walked and talked with them. They loved him. He loved them over 3 years. He was one, even washed their feet, and he did miracles. And they said of him, no man spake like this man. But now, it seems to be over. In fact, Peter at one time said, all right, let's go fishing. Others, of course, disappointed, expecting him to be a Messiah of their choosing. They hoped that he would take over the Roman yoke, but it didn't seem to have happened. There was Peter, there surely having some degree of repentance, we hope. Judas, of course, too late, with remorse, he took his own life. Now it seems it's over. And of course, remember that if we're speaking of grief and loss, our Lord was a man of sorrows, acquainted with grief. But he was dead. He wasn't in a swoon, as some have maintained over the years. He was very clearly dead. When the soldiers went to break their bones, they were surprised that he had died so quickly. He had breathed his last. But now his body had been taken down, been wrapped in linen with balm and ointment, laid in a tomb where no man laid before. The ladies, of course, with him, along with the disciples, but they had forgotten. He'd forgotten what he had said, that he would certainly go through suffering and ultimately death on the cross, but after the third day he would be raised again. They'd forgotten. How do we know that? Because here we read they went to the tomb, the spices, that they might anoint his, in inverted commas, dead body. With heavy heart that early morning, that they set out. The Sabbath had passed. Here's Mary Magdalene, who had seven demons cast out of her. At one time, her heart was full of gratitude that she felt that great burden of demonic warfare go from her heart. But now her heart is in deep sorrow. But soon she would have an impersonal encounter with the risen Lord. The other Marys were there, but their immediate concern was, how are we going to get that heavy stone away from the tomb? All of a sudden, the ground moved. Must be an earthquake. The ground moved beneath their feet. This surely has to be divine intervention. It was certainly divine demonstration. A trembling earth. They looked down to the earth, and then all of a sudden they looked from the earth to the heavens. An angel of the Lord descended from heaven. Now, he was a very strong angel. Why? Because he moved back the stone. The stone from the door. And he sat upon it. Oh, that was a relief from the ladies. But we also read, as Mark says, they were alarmed. Mark describes this visitor from heaven as a young man clothed in a long white robe. Luke actually says there were two men in shining garments. John described Mary Magdalene weeping and looking into the tomb, and two angels, one at the body and the other at the feet. The angel here says, come and see where the Lord has lain. They asked her, as other accounts tell us, woman, why are you weeping? Because they have taken away my Lord, and I do not know where they have laid him. What is this angel? What are angels? Well, angels, of course, the very word angelos, which really probably doesn't give us a great deal of input, basically are messengers. Messengers. Calvin says, he taught that they are emissaries of God, the King. Ministers of God. Of God's wrath. Servant and guardian of God's elect. God uses angels to carry out all that God decrees. God's decrees. They work and serve in that way. Think about angels for a minute. Well, angels at Sodom and Gomorrah, and his rock there. There was rejoicing at Messiah's birth. Angels, of course, could have strengthened the Lord at any time at the cross, but he didn't pray. However, one of them did minister him in the Garden of Gethsemane. But the guards that were there, our text tells us, would quite clearly know that they were under the angels wrath. Could we have a bit of application here for a moment? Interesting, isn't it? Reading or watching things on the internet. Seems to be a big sort of a scheme about this eclipse we meet tomorrow. I don't know. People have different views about who the Antichrist is. It happens every time there's an eclipse. Nevertheless, there will be a darkness for over 4 minutes. Who knows what the Lord might be saying to us. We need to remember that He is in charge of all things. And people are thinking, have hope of it. Deep down, when the Lord comes, will it be in wrath? Or will it be in mercy? In fact, it will be both. You're familiar with 1 and 2 Thessalonians. You'll come to take those who are His to be forever with the Lord, but the others you'll come in wrath of those who know not Jesus. With His holy angels, He will come. These holy angels are coming now. These men who have no desire for this Messiah at all. What happens to them? They shook with fear of Him and became like dead men. I think if there's anything wrong in our assembly today, even in our land, you don't fear the Lord anymore today. Fear of the Lord, as Proverbs said, is the beginning of wisdom. Do you fear the Lord? You say, well, I'm a Christian, I know where I'm going, but you should fear the Lord. Not that you're not going there, but we should work out our salvation. Fear and with trembling. The care men became like dead men. Reminded in Revelation, John fell at the Lord's feet as dead. The word here might be described as catatonic. They were tough men. Shows you, doesn't it? Tough men. You can imagine them all their uniform. Tough, hardened by battle as they've gone out through the Roman Empire. However, now, they are convulsed in fear and collapse like dead men, unconscious. Could ask a question on this one. What about the ladies? Why not the ladies? Why didn't they sort of collapse like that? Well, you know, look at the next phrase. Look what it says. I know that you seek Jesus who was crucified. These men didn't have a seeking heart. In fact, they had no sort of heart at all, if they were anything like the soldiers at the cross. Just in some ways doing their hard, cold duty. But the ladies, what did it say of them? I know that you seek Jesus who was crucified. They had a seeking heart, you see. But He's not here. He is risen, as He said. Luke tells us that they were challenged. Said to them, why do you seek the living among the dead? He's not here, but risen, but is risen. An interesting thing as you look at Matthew. The word remember comes up, particularly in Luke. Remember what He spoke to you, that He must be crucified and the third day rise again. Turn to, will you, if you will, to Matthew 27 and verse 62 and 63. The women forgot, the men forgot, but who didn't? 62. On the next day, which followed the day of preparation, the chief priests and Pharisees gathered together to Pilate, saying, Sir, we remember. While he was still alive, how that deceiver said, after 3 days, I will rise. Isn't that interesting? That all the people that should have remembered forgot, and those all that should forget remembered. But later we read, and Mary remembered his words. You know, you must never forget the promises of God. You must never forget. Do you learn scripture still? Respectfully, how long do you spend in the Word of God? How long do you spend in prayer? Are you diligent in your study? Well, let me give you a promise from God. If you are diligent in your study, the Holy Spirit will bring to remembrance certain things, just to say at the right time, but if you haven't heard them, the Bible remains covered in dust somewhere, and you'll never be blessed. They needed to remember, and they had to be told to remember. I remind myself of a hymn that goes like this. Show me the tomb where thou was lain, tenderly mourned and wept. Angels in robes of light and rain guarded thee whilst thou slept. So said the angel, come see where the Lord lay. In John's Gospel, this account, we see Peter involved. He came to the tomb and, stooping down, looking in, saw the linen cloths. You can find this in John 24, lying there. The handkerchief that had been around his head was not lying with the linen cloths, but folded together in a place by itself. You know what that indicates? I'm sure some of you know. He had actually risen, and his clothes were exactly as they'd been on his body. The clothes were there just as he had risen from the dead. The clothes remained exactly in that position. By the way, the question, did he need to go through the door? Was that the purpose that the angels drew back the door? And there was lightning and thunder. Was that because the Lord had to come back the way he went in? God forbid. He doesn't need the door. The door was not open to release him. The door was for those to go in. Up from the grave he arose, we just sang, didn't we? As with a mighty triumph o'er his foes, he arose a victor from the dark domain. And he lives forever with his saints to reign. Death cannot keep the prey, Jesus my Saviour. He tore the bars away, Jesus my Lord. So the end is gone. Tell the disciples. Wonder what they were doing. Well, of course, in one place we see they were in the upper room for fear of the Jews. Luke tells us these words. It's sad. Read this. If I had people today, when's the last time we shared the gospel? When I died? What was the result? Oh, you're not going on about that again. What do you tell us these things? Well, when the disciples were told that the Lord Jesus had risen from the dead, Luke tells us, it's just women with their ivory tails. They didn't believe them. They're doing too well, these disciples, aren't they? Now, said the angel, he's going before you, going into Galilee, that you will see him. Behold, I have told you. Remember Thomas? Thomas was given every opportunity. When he came back, he talked with the disciples, and they had seen the Lord, and surely there was great rejoicing at that time. Yet Thomas says, I won't believe unless I see the Lord in person and put my hands into his side and feel the nail prints in his hands and in his feet. Now the Lord came and felt such. And Thomas made perhaps what was the best and biggest and amazing statement that any disciple ever said, O Lord. And what was that? My Lord and my God. Verse 8 says, they went out quickly from the tomb with fear and great joy. Fear, surely because of the angelic visitation, the lightning and the earthquake and everything that goes with it, but great joy because they heard that he had risen from the dead. So in their travels to the disciples, Jesus, how wonderful. Have you met the Lord? necessarily see him bodily, but we can meet him, can't we? We can meet him in prayer, we can meet him in the Word of God, we can sense his presence and power by the work of the Holy Spirit in our life, we can sing his praises. But you know, if you think about it, those disciples over those 3 years had a wonderful appreciation of his ministry, of his miracles, of raising the dead, of casting out demons, and yet they didn't believe. Ultimately, did they? They went away and said it can't be true, or ultimately they go fishing. Do you know something? When you're born again of the Spirit, when the Holy Spirit lives in your heart, you have in many ways as much as what they did, because they have the same Holy Spirit, and you and I have that wonderful relationship with him as he regenerates our soul, and we know for a fact that he has risen in our hearts and in our lives. Here they are, walking along, perhaps running to the disciples, and they meet Jesus. And what does he say? I don't know. What? I'm glad he didn't say this. Oh, you forgot, didn't you? Here I am, I told you I was going to raise from the dead. He could have said the same to the disciples, couldn't he? Look at you, Peter, you denied me 3 times. Look at you, Thomas, you're full of doubt. Look at you, disciples, you all run away and scarred when I had the difficulty. He said, you're going to die for me. What could he have said? He could have said all of those things. But our Lord is gracious, isn't he? Our Lord is merciful. And what does he say? Rejoice! That also can mean all hail and greetings. At another place he said to Mary Magdalene, why are you weeping? Whom are you seeking? And she thought that he was the gardener, didn't he? But then he gave a voice that was like many waters, and he said, Mary. And her heart was filled with joy, she said, the two disciples on the Emmaus Road again were very disappointed. Thought he would be the Messiah and would relieve them of the yoke of wine. This stranger they were not sure about, and he sat at table with them, and he took bread and he blessed it and broke it. And he gave it to them. And the scripture says, their eyes opened. They knew him. And then, of course, he vanished from their sight. Remember what they said? Did not our hearts burn with us while he talked with us on the road and while he opened the scriptures to us? Rejoice, he said to the lady. Rejoice. And I'm sure they surely did. And we also. Our text tells us this. And Jesus said to them, do not be afraid. And they came, as the verse says beforehand, they held him by the feet and they worshipped him. I was thinking about that text, you know. At the name of Jesus, every knee shall bow and every tongue shall confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. I wonder how that's possible that we would all be able to see him at the same time, the millions and perhaps billions of people. We'd all like to do what Mary had did, didn't you? We'd like to hold him by the feet and to worship him. But there would be a great run of the feet, I think, and we thought it would be last. But now we gladly bow with him. And he said to the ladies, go and tell my brethren to go to Galilee, and there they will see me. And they did. And at another time he ate and he drank before them. And he said, behold, my hands and my feet, that it is myself. Handle me and see, for a spirit does not have flesh and bones, as you see I have. And he ate raw fish and honeycomb before them. He ate that in their presence. I know this morning that we are sufficiently convinced that Jesus Christ is risen from the dead. But as you go out from this place, as you go out into the week in your various occupations, homes and communities, There are going to be people around you who do not believe that Jesus Christ is risen from the dead. But you have a great message to proclaim. He is risen indeed. And you ever live to make intercession for us. Let me just give a brief summary in closing. As we look at our Lord and his life and all that he does, let's remember his great humility. From the glories of heaven, ultimately he was laid in a borrowed grave. Look at him, his spotless character. He was holy, harmless, and undefiled, and he became a curse for us. Think of his manifold sufferings, a man of sorrows, and he made his grave with the wicked. Think of his mighty power. He said, I have power to lay down my life, and I have power to take it again. Yet, in all the cases, he was at the home of Jesus. But last of all, let's remember his glorious victory, the risen from the dead. So well that saying may go from our lips. Death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory? He arose a glorious Lord. And our privilege and our prospects are great. He was delivered up because of our cancers and raised because of our justification. Indeed, he is risen. He is risen. Indeed. Amen. Well, we're going to close this part anyway of the service with a closing hymn. And indeed, thine be the glory, is its title. Thine be the glory, risen, conquering Son. Endless is the victory thou, or death, has won. Let's stand to sing.